Hey, my dad is mean.
Yeah, I know. That's what he said. He said, you're going to talk about what a meanie he is for not letting you come to Iowa again.
Yeah.
Well, he's got to let you come someday, eventually, right? It's not forever impossible. Did you go to Kentucky then this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you get to go to Kentucky, but not Iowa.
I also get to go to Joe Fest.
I know. How was Kentucky?
Good.
Was it fun? Did you hang out with Ron and Ginny?
Yeah.
Right on. Is it?
Because it's only like a day and like a couple hours plus. We don't stay up till like 3 o'clock. We stay up till like 1.
Well, you know, there's worse things in the world, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like you'll be getting a new cardboard playset to terrorize, right?
Yeah.
They're looking pretty sweet this year. I can't wait. So did you come back with anything from Kentucky or?
Yeah, I came back with a couple slaughters. We got them for the batons.
Oh, nice.
A Night Force Falcon.
That's a good find.
And the last two vintage Ewoks that I needed.
Nice.
So now I have all of the Ewoks.
That is pretty cool. Which ones were you missing?
Warwick and Ramba.
That's pretty cool, though. Once you got those. It looks like your dad and I need to get down to business. So hopefully you have some fun with the gear kit.
When are we even going to get it?
They ship out on the 12th of August. So yeah, you should have it a couple days after that.
This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and Sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast.
You have until August 6th, which is only 4 days away, to purchase your armor kit for Armor 3. This is the Codename Iowa's online convention that started during COVID when most of us weren't traveling and there was nowhere to travel to. Codename Iowa has hosted 12 Assembly Required shows, and this is their third armor show. The show is on August 19th. We'll all have cereal and watch cartoons and then get to see some amazing panels by some of the best and brightest in our community when it comes to digging for and unearthing and archiving and understanding the minutiae and the details that have been lost to time with G.I. Joe. You've heard Brian's name every single time you've listened to the Full Force podcast, and you've probably heard him here with Joel and I on Full Force and everywhere else. Brian is incredible, and he heads up the Codename Iowa team. So thanks for sitting down with us again, Brian, and I can't wait for August 19. After Armor's done, everyone should start looking at their finances so that they can make it to Iowa in early November for the 13th Codename Iowa Assembly Required G.I. Joe Convention. I could go on about how much I love that show, but this one's all about armor.
That first one was live, and that was
that was fun. That was a lot of fun. We're not going to do that again.
The first armor was during COVID. I don't recall the theme, but that came with the headquarters screen, like the computer screen.
Yeah, that one was basically because since we were all stuck at home, we did a mail-away theme.
That's right. It was the mail-away theme. God, what a gorgeous.
Yes. It was all based around all those lovely mail-aways we got and one we didn't get. And Chris talked to Cloud. He talked about what they got in the UK. And I remember D-Class ran down all the figures, some of the differences we gotten with some of the mail-away stuff, like the you know, the different vehicles and things of that nature. But no, it was a lot of fun to kind of a way to bring some, at least the content that we provide from Assembly required into the house, you know?
I think that was an enormous, beautiful advertisement of what, like, real AR physically there, Assembly required is like. I loved the first armor. And then the second armor, that one was Hiss versus Vamp.
Correct.
And you guys had the Mechanics Bay, which was two stories.
Mm-hmm.
And butts up nicely with the Computer Center. That one was a lot of fun. So I might have mentioned this in November, but it's now been another 9 months. Those sets, although cardboard, are still together. I taped the tabs down, but they're still together.
Mm-hmm.
They still get play. And then there was a big Steel Brigade thing also with the first one, because that was a mail away. Last year, you did something with 6-inch as well, maybe? Not last year, because we skipped last year.
Yeah, we did not do a 2022 armor, but we did a 2021 armor. And
yeah, that was the Hiss and Vamp.
Yes, yes. And what we were doing, what we started to do was include some backdrops and then some accessories for 6-inch figures.
That's what it was. And I remember you had some like holograms that fit really well with 3¾ on like a planning board or 6-inch in their hand.
Correct. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Little 3D resin printouts that just, yeah, were of the vehicles and different things and just in small scale, translucent. Yeah. Just bring more life to whatever, you know, those fun little things that we could do with 3D printers now. It's just, worlds of innovation.
And so last year you skipped it, but you were also revamping Assembly Required and it became much larger than any of the other times I've been.
Yes.
Skipping armor made sense last year, but this year, since the much larger version of Assembly Required is already in place, you have time for armor again, I guess, or you're just a psychopath who doesn't like your own time.
It's a 50-50 split down that road right there. Actually, we had planned this very armor that we were doing this year, we had planned for last year, and just time got away from us. And you know, like you said, a little bit bigger AR, more planning involved in that. And we just decided we wanted to come back at it. And, you know, we had some good ideas that we just didn't want to let die. Plus, I mean, people have been asking about it, which is great. Like, it's, you know, it was missed. So
I have asked about it.
Yeah, I know. Quite a few people continue to ask about it, which is amazing to me. Because, like, I just, you know, again, you don't get much of a sense of the audience when you're on doing these things because, you know, it's, I don't know, sometimes it shows like, oh, you got 12 people viewing you at the time, which is could be completely inaccurate. But yeah, you never know who's watching the playback or who's jumping in or jumping out. But
speaking of the playback, the first year you guys were live, and that I'm sure was one hell of a headache. You've been doing pre-recorded stuff with some live components since then. Are you housing that with D-Class, with Full Force, or just on your own YouTube, your own website? Like where can people go back and catch 1 and 2 if they want to?
It should be on our on our YouTube. We got a Codename Iowa YouTube. I've probably neglected it and have not put everything, all the content up there, which is something on my to-do list before this one to make sure that people can go back and review.
But that's where Armor 3 is going to be.
Yes.
The thing I think is fun about Armor is that not everybody travels to conventions, whether they're 30 minutes from home or 30 hours. There's a lot of people that don't do it. But Armor is one place all day long. It's like a convention from your couch. And you're starting off the same way you start off Assembly Required. We're eating cereal and watching cartoons all together around the world. And then we jump into the content. And I'm assuming Armor 3 is going to stay that same format.
No, unfortunately, the cartoon thing's not going to work out because of copyright problems. But we definitely plan on putting out a recommended playlist for Saturday morning. So just a few episodes, 2 or 3 episodes that tie into the theme that, you know, like I said, just do a little rewatching of a couple classics and, you know, get yourself geared up for this to be immersed in the whole Extensive Enterprises, World of the Crimson Twins, and Crimson Guard.
This year's theme is the twins. Is it all just Extensive Enterprises? Because I saw your Extensive Enterprises memos.
Mm-hmm.
You've always been very immersive, whether it's your in-person or your armor. So this time there are memos from the leadership team at Extensive Enterprises. sort of announcing what's happening, announcing a couple panels and guests. What all's going on with this theme?
Well, really, what we wanted to do is, just like any of our shows, we try to pick an angle and go deep into it. So with this one, it's kind of hitting on the lore of what is the Twins, what is Extensive Enterprises. So like what does the Twins mean in toys and cartoon or toys and comic books? Extensive Enterprises is more of the cartoon stuff. So we're trying to explore all facets of what made those characters and that certain what would you say, the stories around them, the worlds that they occupy. Because Extensive Enterprises is so fascinating that was just a cartoon vehicle, that it never really bled into the comic books. It made some mentions. It got some mentions later on in file cards, but I think those were, you know, much, much further down the road. And so, like, the idea that, wait a minute, these two guys, you know, half the time wear circus costumes and the other half the time they're wearing suits. Like, it's an interesting dynamic.
Somewhere along the line, they got tied into the Crimson Guard. When you start getting to, like, renegades, they're very cultish and super powery. There's a lot going on with the Twins. It's very fun, whether or not they can feel each other's pain. You must have been a lot of fun to play with as a kid. Like, did you go to this length in the backyard?
I did have a binder full of missions that outlined very specifically the characters, the vehicles, and a bit of, like, what's, you know, like, the setup. So you basically got a mission doc, a mission brief. And so you got to pull your figures out based on those mission briefs that I'd write up. So,
do you still have those mission briefs?
I found them years ago. I think they're still around. I don't know where they're at exactly yet, but yeah, I need to dig those up and take a look at them, because there's just, I mean, it's just hilarious, because yeah, it would be. You know, it's all based on from the Joe team. This is what you're going to need. I remember the snow mission where you needed the snow cat and the polar bear. And, you know, you were taking, you know, of course, you took all your snow guys with you. But then you had to pack up like six other backups and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was semi-elaborate.
The other kids in the neighborhood, were they annoyed because they just wanted to get down and play, or did they love that they had to show up and be immersive with you?
You know, I don't remember. I think actually those were more for myself. I think those were the times when I didn't have all my friends over to play. So,
because I mean, that's incredible. I didn't go to that length, but I would spend 4 days digging in the dirt with rocks and building bases and tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had shown up with a mission brief and I'm over here, you know, with a spade and a wheelbarrow, like, holy shit, I would have loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Mission briefs.
Oh, yeah.
We all grow up a little bit different. We all play a little bit different, but I have never heard of anybody that had a binder with mission briefs. This is fantastic. And this also, like, clearly identifies where you were going in life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. And I mean, and, you know, me as a planner, it doesn't make, I'm not really like a deep planner until I get to something like, you know, putting on a show or doing something like this where, there's a story to tell. There's a whole definitely a way or information that we want to go and traverse and get out.
I love this. I want to see these things show up in AR. Holy shit.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
I want to sit down with A and say, all right, here's from Brian, the aide of General Hawk. Here's our mission plan.
Maybe I should just start writing some and just give those out, you know, because, yeah, those are just, you know, I mean, again, they're just fun little role-playing, or, you know, even extensions off the comic book stuff.
Was this when you were like 10 and 12, or when you were like 15?
No, this had to be when I was like, yeah, around 10 or so. Like, this was still
amazing,
fairly early on in this, the first 3-4 years of Joe. So yeah,
I find that incredible. I know this is way off AR topic, but I find that incredible. So with AR, I noticed you just posted a bunch of equipment for Tomax and Zaymont. that Mark is working on. Mark Gerwig of Mark II Designs.
Yes.
Did he build the digital mock-ups and then you guys are printing them? Or is he printing them and shipping them out? Like, how is that happening?
No, he's building those for us. Like,
he's incredible.
Oh, yeah. No, he's been awesome. It was last year when we were working on the rifle set for the gear kit that came at AR. We reached out to him because we were asking him how some technical stuff. And he kind of came in and was like, hey, you know, how about I help you guys out? And we're like, are you sure? You got like tons of stuff going on. He's like, no, I want to. His thing was like, he wants to help out in the community and wants to get out there. And so, he was a huge help last year. He's a big help this year. We got a couple things else in the works that we're kind of, you know, kicking around for AR, bigger things. So, he's definitely been a big help. Like, it's awesome to have somebody like that.
I don't remember. I met him at Joe Landa. And then just like a couple months later, he shows up at AR.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had just been drinking together. And then just a couple months later, now we're in Iowa for a whole weekend together. You sat him right next to one of his childhood heroes, Ron.
Mm-hmm.
Ron
mm-hmm.
notices a big arm tattoo. And so when I talked to Mark in March, I think, or April, just to talk about how he had joined the Operation Recall team, I mean, we talked forever about his experiences at Assembly Required and with Ron and you. I think off record, we had talked that you and he were talking and everything. And you had mentioned something about it as well when you and I were having drinks in Iowa. I love Mark. I really do. And his work is incredible. He is becoming the weapon version of our community that you are for design. Like, the two of you are now included in everyone's companies and projects and shows. And I can't turn around without seeing your work in the G.I. Joe community. And now he's becoming that with weapons. And I absolutely celebrate and adore how much, like, both of you are involved in G.I. Joe and in this community.
Oh, yeah. It's fun to... Well, it's fun to contribute back. Like, so many people have given so much and do so many things. It's just like, it's fun to, you know, create, because, you know, of course we want to be creators and we want to, you know, add to the lore of what is, you know, our childhood. But I think a lot of it is too, is like, it's a community give back thing. It's like, you know, let's pitch in and help out, because for a while, not now, but for a while, the brand was seemingly on life support. There was no product. There was nothing really happening with it. And that was up to, you know, us as a fan base to kind of keep pushing it forward and showing that, you know, that there is a market for this stuff. And, you know, even if it is adult collectors, or, you know, if it's not reaching the, you know, the intended age group that they would love to hit, but, you know, there's a marketplace for this stuff. And I think it's important that we maintain it if, say, Hasbro is not maintaining it. And now that they are up and running and operating at full steam, like, you know, we're not backing down. We're still going to augment our collections.
That's one of the things that I like about what you're doing is you're targeting all of us, because we are the ones that pay and show up and everything else. We're the ones with the car keys. But everything you've made that I've brought home, or that you've mailed to me with armor, I've put in the hands of a child, and it's all been great.
Yeah, that's, we, you know, we want to capture that feeling. Like, we want to capture that feeling of, like, this would have been unbelievable if we would have came home and found this box at our, you know, being 10, 12 years old, like, all of a sudden, wait a minute, there's all this stuff. Never mind playset and the accessories and stuff. But like, as you dig deeper into it, it's like, whoa, this is cool. The stickers, and there's, you know, all sorts of other little paraphernalia and little things laying around. Like, that's the depth you want to go into. Or at least we want to go.
Yeah. Well, I know that your Steel Brigade patches, I have a set with my Steel Brigade display. And then I gave a set to Alexander, and he had his mom sew them to a t-shirt.
Nice.
So he runs around with those on him. I know your stickers have been used in our house. Some of the t-shirts I've brought home, I've had to order a second t-shirt for him which I don't know if you do t-shirts for armor, but you definitely do some amazing t-shirts for assembly required. And I've gotten compliments from people have no idea what it is, just because the shirt looks good enough that even a muggle is going to be like, oh, that's cool looking. I'm like, it's G.I. Joe. Have you heard the word? Can I knock on your door like on Saturday and come in and talk to you about G.I. Joe?
It's a high compliment, and the idea that you can pass the test, you could still wear your nerd pride, but yet not have to defend it all the time, like because you got some cheesy shirt on there, you know.
Yeah.
The t-shirt stuff, again, it's just fun. It's like, again, it's deep cuts. It's taking things that are, that you need to have a knowledge base for. You can't just be a passive fan to pick up on this stuff. And yeah, the mail away, the armor kits will always get t-shirts, will always be a fun shirt. You know, this year's one is the Extensive Enterprises family picnic day at the circus.
Oh, excellent.
Which is harkens back to their first appearance in Marvel Comics, where they were in a circus. You know, like the little thing, like, you know, putting a little dragonfly off in the distance on the shirt, because the dragonfly was in that issue. Things like that, like just putting those fun little nods, going back and refreshing my memory about things and finding those little stuff that Larry Hamamea wrote in there, just throwing away, like just to fill the page or to, you know, get some context in there and then never bring it up again. Well, you know, I'm going to try to exploit that to make some kind of creative endeavor out of it.
I can honestly say I can't wait till you get to Firefly and Scrap Iron, because in the comics, I don't think either of them were used to their potential. And I know if you've got a binder when you were a kid, I'm sure there's something in there. When I see it show up at AR or Armor, I'm going to do backflips. But that's not today. Today is Extensive Enterprises.
Yes.
So you always do a sticker set. You just mentioned that a t-shirt's coming. That t-shirt sounds amazing. It reminds me a lot of your Manta t-shirt.
Yes, yes.
Which I've worn to nightclubs, and people are like, oh, I love that 80s theme shirt. I'm like, okay, that's what it is. Technically, yes. You've done patches in the past. I don't know if you always do patches. You've done cardboard play sets for both armor and for assembly required. And so I've already mentioned like the two armor ones we have for us, still put together, still playable. Have gotten lots of play, have been attached to Rage and Spoon's complex spaces. They've been attached to the bridge of Victor's VSS, Joy Toys Battle for the Stars playsets, the actual 83 base and the 92 base, 93 base, whatever year that came out. So your cardboard stuff has been attached to a lot of bullshit in my house. They've also been attached to styrofoam. They're playable. And then for AR, I know I have the Ninja Water Tower, all of this stuff is still in play. So are we getting that with Armor 3?
Yeah, actually, it's the Extensive Enterprises. It's the Twins' office.
Oh, shit. Okay.
The briefcase that you get everything in actually converts into their office. So it pulls down and lays out flat, and you have the back wall with the window in there and everything. And you get two cardboard desks, you get cardboard chairs, you get a little 3D printed globe. So all those, all those pivotal scenes from the cartoon can be recreated.
Oh, that's so good.
It's that idea of like, yeah, how do we make more out of this? And turning the shipping case into more of the playset is, both a little bit of cost savings, which allows us to do a little bit more things with it. But it's also just a good functional use of what you get. Instead of just having a box that you put aside and maybe keep your stuff into, the box actually has some function to it.
I just remembered what the other one was that we had was you did that G.I. Joe base where the box was part of the playset, and there was like a shooting gallery and a bunch of other things. So I'm excited that this is going to be in that same vein where it joins our G.I. Joe collection. Now, I'm a 3¾ guy. We also do classified. Alexander won't touch 4-inch, but Joel is a 4-inch guy. I think you do a lot of 4-inch also, because all of your customs are 4-inch. So these play sets are going to be playable regardless of your scale.
These are more for the 4-inch and 3¾-inch. Yeah, but we do include like the accessory kit for the 6-inch, and there's a 6-inch backdrop that we made for it. And, you know, so we don't leave everybody out. We've tried to make the multi-scale function work, but it just looks awkward for one size or the other. But yeah, at some point we're going to have to bite the bullet and we're going to have to start doing 6-inch sets because as those are growing in more popularity and, you know, there's just more demand for that kind of stuff.
Well, from a 6-inch side, you guys did Cobra Commander Shooting Gallery.
Yes.
Which I thought was genius. I love where this is going. When we're talking, this is the end of July, beginning of August. The 6th of August is the final date to order because you guys have to ship out because these have to get all over the damn wherever you are. I don't know if you're shipping internationally or just within the U.S., but they've got to be in people's homes before the morning of August 19.
Correct. Yeah. So we're sticking to the United States. Every once in a while, we might get one or two off to Canada. And yeah, we you know, and the cutoff date has to do with the T-shirts is because we have to get the T-shirts specifically printed. And we don't, it's not like we're going through and we're printing, you know, 50, 60, 70 shirts. These shirts are pretty much printed to order. So if you like that shirt, you kind of got to get it now or else the likelihood of having it, you know, of course, we'll always, order an extra one or two just in case. People have been asking, where can I get a Manta shirt at? And I'm like, go back in your time machine 3 years and pick one up because we don't have any plans to print that one again. So
sure, you guys are always running forward. You're not running backward.
Right.
As much as awesome as that shirt was, you have other shirt ideas.
Yeah, there's, well, trust me. Yeah, there's tons of them. Like, yeah, I about got lynched because the T-shirt that we had now was done. And I said, hey, I got another idea. I think I might ditch this one and go with that. They're like, no. This is really cool. We don't want to, you know, let's use this one. Your other one, you could use somewhere else down the road. But yeah, it really is that whole like, yeah, because, you know, love T-shirts, love the big designs, love the colors, love doing things that are insider knowledge, insider something to, yeah, for the fans, you know, deep cuts for the fans. Yeah.
This is also the problem of having Travis and the rest of your crew right there with you is that anytime you have an idea that might be at 2-foot depth, you guys get on the phone and suddenly it's at 10-foot depth. You really got to dive in by the time you guys get off the phone and hand something to the rest of us.
Yeah. I mean, we want to make sure that, well, again, we don't want to look like dummies, like we don't know our own stuff. Like, you know, like.
You have a hell of a team and it shows in everything. And I know this is about armor, but I'm always going to tell everybody that can hear me to show up in Iowa in November for Assembly Required because it's armor, but in person. It is intimate and yet there's still a bunch of rare shit. It's a fantastic show, and armor is that sit-at-home version. I love it. I know at cursory glance, a whole theme on just the twins doesn't sound like there's a lot to mine here because there's just two guys. But when you start bringing in Marvel, DDP, IDW, the cartoon, all the other cartoons, you know, Spy Troops and Renegades and everything else, there's a ton there. And some of those properties have used the shit out of them, given them a last name, killed off one of them. Others have, they had acrobatic rods that poked out of a building that nobody seemed to notice or care about as they backflipped to the ground.
They had one building turned into a rocket and nobody cared.
Right.
You know?
I mean, even in the 80s, we knew that billionaires were fucked up.
Yes, exactly it.
So I'm really excited. Dan's coming to the party. Has he done panels for armor before? Because I know he's done for AR.
He has not done one for armor before. This is exciting. I'm excited because, yeah, this was like an avenue that he said, you know, like him and Ron can sit down and have a conversation about the twins and try to recall what Ron remembers and what information Dan has dug out and really find out, you know, get into the creation of the characters and then how they got linked up with the Crimson Guard and what made them the commanders and, you know, even talking about the Crimson Guard themselves. It's not just, you know, it's, you say extensive enterprises or some, you know, there's a little more to it. There's a few more players involved and stuff. So I just find it fascinating. Like I want to know more. I'm glad that other people are interested in the subject matter, but really, I want to know more. Like, because, yeah, they are such an interesting development.
Chris and Pat with the Declassified group, they always bring the heat. The setups they put at shows, what they bring to Assembly Required is phenomenal. And so for Armor, they always do a panel.
It is. Unfortunately, it's not a D-class panel this year.
Oh.
It's an articulated points panel with Phil and Pat.
Yes. Yes. Phil has a completely different voice than Chris in the way he does articulated points versus Chris's D-class panels. But again, this is not a thing you can miss. I hate to see that Chris isn't involved, but I love to see that Phil is. Holy shit, I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. No, I think those guys just, they're handling the Crimson Guard as far as from a figure assortment angle. And so just for them to go down the path of talking about all the variations, the different types of Crimson Guards we've gotten throughout the years, what we know and don't know about things. Gee, talk about going deep on one subject.
Oh, man.
I'm expecting that to be just, you know, I will be digging out all my Crimson Guard figures and looking at them, looking for all the things that they point out. Yeah, it's going to be really, really mind-blowing.
The team of people you have invited to share your space and the people that have invited you to share theirs is phenomenal.
I love the community aspect of what goes on here, and that it's not just one keeper of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And that keeper of knowledge being, you know, what can I say, guarded about it. It's that people want to share this. People want to get this out. They want to talk about it. Talking to Dan, and he's like, well, I don't know. Everybody's heard this stuff before. And I'm like, no, they haven't.
They have not.
There's whole new audiences. There's entire people who don't know what's going on. And then there's other people who just need a refresher or who want a refresher, you know? So it's like, even if you're saying the same thing over and over again, it is really, really fun to hear again, how did something come into development? How did this end up being my favorite character? How did this, you know, slight pivot in the boardroom affects the, you know, how the comic book played out.
So Dan has 12 books out. His 13th will be Kickstartering soon because the man is a unstoppable machine of writing these things.
Mm-hmm.
And he still has more to talk about. He still has more to share with us. Every time I read his books, I have a handful of things that I already know this, and I love the refresher, and a handful of things I've never heard of. This weekend, I was sitting with Brian Kaufman at dinner. He and I were talking about something, and I went, every time I think I know it all, someone goes, here's one thing you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back to the races. Phil and Pat, they worked on Yo-Jo for how many years?
Right.
More than a decade, two. And yet there's still stuff that's being discovered today, still stuff that's being dredged out today. Yeah, I don't know if I told you this. When Alexander discovered StarCom, he got way big into it, and he starts getting online. He's like, Dad, I found the StarCom website for doing all my research. And do you know whose website it is? It's Pat Stewart's.
Yeah.
So, and I know that's not G.I. Joe, but we have not heard it all. Even the guys that have been talking about it incessantly, trying to make sure we've heard it all for decades, multiple, still haven't gotten it all out to us. As you said, there is no one keeper of the keys. You know, we're listening to Chris every week talk about something that's new. We're seeing weird shit at your show that's a deep dive into something that we all know about and still a little new thing here or there. D-class and articulated points. I don't know. I'm in a cycle of repeating myself now because I can't be emphatic enough about how there's absolutely no way you're going to be bored unless you really just don't give a shit about this thing. There's no way you can be bored at this.
Right. Well, and I mean, I think too, like one of the things I've realized with doing the Armor stuff too, is that this is a recording of what we know now. And some of this knowledge can very easily be lost. God forbid somebody's, you know, health fails or, you know, something catastrophic happens. It's all word of mouth and nobody, it's never been recorded or anything like that. Like it's, I mean, I don't mean to make it sound that, you know, historically relevant, but, you know, the idea that the stuff needs to be recorded, the stuff needs to be documented. And, you know, much like what Carson does with 3D Joes and everything, like, you know, it's, I think it's, you know, part of what we need to do as a, for the brand legacy, as much as anything, is to document the knowledge that we discover about as creators and keep that going.
One of the things that I find fascinating is as I read Dan's books, especially because it's in print and in my face, we all know Kirk, we all know Ron, we all know Larry. There's a few others, right? Kurt Groen and Mark Pennington. But every time I read Dan's books, there's like five Hasbro employee names I've never heard of.
Right.
And they made something that I absolutely adore. You know, when I go to a D-Class booth, which are always at your show, I always see something I didn't know existed or I can't believe still exists after all these years that it didn't end up in a dumpster. When you and I sit down and chat, I'm always thrilled by how you take a pretty basic theme and then turn it into this extensive enterprise, to pun the shit out of what you're doing. But seriously, I mean, you're taking two guys, maybe some Crimson Guard because they're attached at some point, and turning it into a theme that I am thrilled to see the deep dive on. And I am thrilled to spend an entire Saturday with you online, a cereal in hand, watching a panel, you know, seeing my friends and people that are way smarter than me at G.I. Joe or just toys in general show their love to all of us for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because genuinely, you don't have to buy the armor kit to show up and watch, but you should, because the armor kit comes with so much. I personally always do the largest kit because it's going to have the 3 3/4 and the 6-inch, so we can play in both directions. I want the t-shirt. I'm going to grab a second for A. I love this. I love your stickers. I love stickers in general. I'm going to grab at least one more set, maybe two more. You know, if you did a bookmark, I'd probably have 4 or 5. If you do another patch, he's going to have it on another t-shirt, and I'll have it displayed with a Crimson Guard or something. You know, like, I've always enjoyed what you put out with the notes. Like, I've got letters from Hawk. I've got letters from Clutch. Now I'm going to have letters from Tomax and Zaymot, or at least their administrative assistant.
Right.
I keep these things. These are as important to me in my collection as more of the historical things, because it's a moment in time where everything we hear in 5 years, we might, oh, we were wrong about this and that, because we were wrong 10 years ago about some of these things. That's exciting. That's one of the fun parts of a snapshot in time. Not just the macabre of, you know, we're all going to die one day, but
yes,
seeing how we progress in knowledge of, oh, we thought this, now we know this. And you're giving us a platform to do that publicly and together. And I, as a friend, but also as a fan of what you're doing, I am deeply excited.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a lot to say, and I appreciate it. But I mean, really, it's honestly, it's for the love of the fantasy, the love of the toy, the love of the storytelling, the creators. Yeah, it's just, that's one of those things that, you know, I feel like when I stopped playing with G.I. Joe, when I came back and started collecting G.I. Joe, that was just a general shift in how I was going about things. And, you know, the idea that this community of collectors and friends and, you know, things these guys, you know, like, it's funny to think about that what I consider to be my good friends are guys who I only get to see once, maybe twice a year, you know, talk to once in a while on Facebook and stuff like that. But it's just similar upbringing, similar period of time, really having those like interactions and moments and stuff. So, and besides that, I'm a creator and I love to hear what inspires other people, how they built what they did, what they, you know, what was going on in their minds or what led to their inspiration. Up until maybe the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, most of the toy makers were just anonymous. And what they did is, you know, lost in time somewhere. Like, nobody knows who who did what, or, you know, where did this come from? Who was this guy? Because it was just a job. It wasn't, you weren't creating art. You weren't creating a piece of sculpture. You were just trying to do something to get a paycheck.
That's commercial art, I suppose.
Yeah.
So did you have Tomax and Zaymon as a kid, or is this an adult pickup?
Oh, no, I had him as a kid.
Crimson Guard?
Yep. I still remember picking up Tomax and Zaymon. I mean, you couldn't get over the packaging on those guys. That was just incredible.
I had Crimson Guard, but I didn't have Tomax and Zaymon. My cousin did.
Mm.
And so I went to his house and saw the packaging. I was like, oh my God. And then, of course, that string got tied to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know that they were the captain of the Crimson Guard when we were playing in the yard, but... So I would take one and he would take the other, and they were his. So he always got to choose his favorite.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I was so like disappointed when I finally got the ferret and they weren't on the package art. I felt like the animation for the comic book, the commercial had them on it and everything. I was like, oh, these guys are perfect for this. This is, you know, the perfect toy. And then I'm like, what is Storm Shadow and Firefly doing on this thing? It's supposed to be Tomax and Zaymon.
It's a really weird pull to have those two on the ferret.
It really is. And then just to think about how their story intertwined later in the comic book is even a little more, disturbing or funny or whatever the word is. But yeah.
With the twins, when you played with them, could they feel each other's pain? Did you incorporate that into your playtime?
Yeah, I did. I think, so for me, I was really loyal to the comic book for a lot of my continuity, but that was some of the stuff I borrowed from the Sunbow series, was some of that stuff there. Because, I felt like they were much more developed in Sunbow and they had much more of a purpose there.
They were used a lot more in the cartoon than the comic. What time are we kicking off on the 19th?
10 o'clock Central.
So 8 a.m. on the West Coast, 11 a.m. on the East Coast.
Yes. Just to give everybody, you know, an equal shot at it. Get everybody to wrap up on their catch a little full force before jumping over. You know, hopefully it won't be a very huge 3-hour show that week. Hopefully there won't be a lot of Breaking Joe news that week either, but... Yeah, and I have no idea about the runtime yet. This will be interesting to see. I'm assuming we're going to be around the 4 to 5 hours of material, depending on how everybody's cut comes in and what we do to for filler and stuff like that. So we've got some plans in there. We're working on a couple surprises and trying to keep things lively, you know, do what we do best, you know, let everybody, give them the big details enough to get them interested, but then, you know, make sure that there are a couple surprises, good surprises in there that keep everybody on their toes.
Are you guys going to use any sort of Armor 3 or Armor Twins or anything sort of hashtag for people to participate? So if I wanted to go out in the yard and take some twins pictures, anything like that for people to participate in social media, Facebook, et cetera?
Yeah, we're going to try to figure out what exactly that is, where the communal space can be so that we can share and also do some live chatting as well, answering some questions, just having some fun. Yeah, we want things to go smoothly, but we don't want to lose some of the personalization and, being able to talk to the people who are dispensing the information and stuff. So I think one thing we forgot to talk about was that Buzz Dixon is going to be interviewed by David T. Allen.
Excellent.
Which would be a lot of fun to get his take, both being coming from the Sunbow series and working on the IDW stuff. Just his perspective on it all and what he's got to say about him.
And Buzz is a great interview. So I'm excited for that, which also means that David T. Allen is joining the crew this year because he has not he's not been a part of Armor in the past. So welcome to David. That's an exciting bit. And what a hell of a person to bring to the party.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, eventually I'd like to have everybody participate as much as possible. Like, this is, you know, one of those things where it's not like I you know, go to one source. Again, you know, this is about the community. And so, yeah, like interested in hitting up, you know, other people to provide content and bring their, you know, their knowledge to the table. So it's not a one-sided story or just what we can get from one source.
So at this point, we've covered t-shirts and cardboard play sets that are attached to the box. Mark II Designs has joined the team. David joined the team with a huge guest of Buzz Dixon. Our Articulated Points, so Phil and Pat are doing their magic. Dan Klingensmith is coming with a panel. So he's joining the team this year with Ron Rudat. And I'm almost certain you're not telling us something. So are we going to have a few more surprises, right?
Definitely. Definitely.
Well, then I absolutely look forward to seeing you and Travis hosting all of this. Alexander and I will... I mean, I'm going to have to buy some shitty cereal. I mean, he's got the nice, good, you know, healthy cereal that you eat in 2023, but I'll have to buy some, I don't know, Flintstones or something. We will absolutely be joining you at 10 in the morning with sugary cereal and milk and spend 4 or 5 hours doing this. I'm very excited about this. I've already put my order in for the armor gear kit because I'm not going to miss that. And I always forget this. And yes, as the person who asked you to come on here and talk about your thing, I probably should have memorized it first. But armor is assembly required.
Okay, assembly required mass online rally.
Perfect. By the way, I love that you took the time to make that an acronym. Because you could have just easily have just said armor and left it alone. No one would have at all like given you shit for it or called you lazy. Nothing. We wouldn't have even noticed, but you actually did the extra, which is a staple of Codename Iowa team.
Yeah, I mean, I got to give all credit to Chad Baker, who's my creative partner on the more of the print side of things and stuff. But he was the one who worked out the acronym, which was fantastic. But again, it's, you know, it's the deep cuts. It's the emulating everything from when we were Joe fans and what we got and all that made it charming and memorable and lovable for us.
So the gear kits are $100, I think.
$100 for either the 6-inch or the 4-inch. It's $135 if you do the all in.
So the all in is the obvious because it's all in and it's only $35 more.
Right. And it does have a few extras in there, a few bonus items and stuff. So that aren't included in either one of the two kits. So yeah, just do the full thing. And you know, the other thing I say, it's not like it's mass marketed, mass produced. Doesn't mean the quality is any less. I mean, because these are, yeah, I mean, I'm putting a lot of time and effort into making sure that this is top notch quality and stuff, using all my abilities and knowledge from, you know, making things in the print industry and marketing and advertising to make sure that this stuff is of top quality.
Everything I've ever received from you has been top quality, whether it's been armor or assembly required. So I don't think that is a fear of mine, but I'm glad you told everybody else how awesome it's going to be. So yes, $100 for one or the other, $135 for all in. Do the all in until they're sold out. They will be arriving before August 19, where we're all going to join you at 10 a.m. in the morning, Central Standard Time. Yeah, 5 a.m. if you're in Hawaii, but otherwise, 8 a.m. to 11, depending on where you are in the U.S. Dude, I cannot tell you how excited I was when I saw armor.
Everybody's had a busy summer, and it's like, let's put this out here and let's get it going, and then we can get this one behind us, and we can go start working on the next one, which I don't know what's next.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us. when we come to AR, like, we try to stay out of your hair, but you end up, like, indulging all of us, and we stay, like, right in the middle of your business.
Yeah, hopefully this year we're going to mitigate a lot of things. I keep saying that every year after year, but we do slowly get better at it.
As you're growing, there's not everyone is invited to be in the middle of your space, but I know some of us try to stay out of your way and end up always being involved.
Absolutely. Well, it's appreciated both ways, you know, and there to help out. And yeah, when you guys are letting us do what we need to do.
This has been the Order of Battle.